the cortex in the front of the brain separates us from the monkeys. And so these serotonergic neurons in the prefrontal cortex will have greater density just after a few weeks of meditation. What does this mean? This is the part of the brain that allows for rational thinking, higher moral reasoning, which the world could use a little more of, and and a really important thing, which is the negation of impulses.
Look at that, we're good.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
So good to see you. So good to meet you. I get to meet you for the first time in this moment with all these incredible people right now. And so thank you so much for coming on and giving us some time.
Such a pleasure. And yeah, in the normal period with circumstances that were different than today's, you normally meet people live. And now it's like, this is how I meet a lot of people.
It's so cool because I've met some incredible people and now I get to count you as one of them. Just all through Instagram Live. Hi, Richard. And it's just so cool. It's something that I've really not just come to embrace, because I don't know if you know, but I never did lives before this year and before COVID. And I mean, I didn't even really do a lot of live stories that were just streaming, and I don't do selfies a lot. I've always been kind of self-conscious about that type of thing. And when COVID started, and I realized there was such a need for information, and I started doing these lives, I've just come across incredible people like yourself. And I'm so excited that you're here today. And I'm so excited for all of you that have joined today. We're just going to go ahead and get started. I know there's like a handful of you that were on, but we started introducing our very special guest, Dr. Pedro Shojai. Dr. Pedro, do you like to go by Dr. P, Dr. Pedro, Dr. Shojai? What do you prefer?
Because I'm you know, the doctor's type was a lot of work, but I like to go by Pedro, just a guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So Pedro is a doctor of oriental medicine. He's a master herbalist, who's an acupuncturist. He is a New York Times bestselling author of The Urban Monk, which I know we're going to talk about your other book, but I want to hear a little bit more about that for our new viewers and our new audience. And also The Art of Stopping Time, which just the name in and of itself, I was so intrigued by. And he's the founder of Well.org. So he is a Qigong master. He has a really practical approach to modern living, because he uses Eastern thinking and practices to help himself and others overcome these challenges, these westernized challenges of everyday life, which is how you have to say, right? To wake up and live their life's fully, which I absolutely love, because as you know, I love to fuse, you know, nutrition and energy and as a person. And my background comes very much from the Eastern approach and Chinese. But as well as, you know, there's Ayurvedic constant nutrition. Really do try to use it and integrate it with functional and Western type of mentality. So I think it's awesome. And I, you know, before I keep going, I keep going forever, but your list is so long. So, you know, we're going to talk about your new book, which is on topic today, focusing by, you know, bringing time with energy and money to grow. Can you just share with everyone how you got here? You know, you're a doctor, all these different Eastern medicines, and you're a monk, and you're a producer, and an author, and you know, you have this live stream platform we're going to ask you about. So how do you let us in a little bit on your bio other than I've said?
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, if you can't keep your calm and you can't figure out how to do the life thing, you can't do all these things and still be sane. Right. Like I do a lot of things, but I do one thing at a time. And I stay focused on doing that one thing at a time really well and staying present in the moment with that. Right. I mean, the Skype's always going to be chirping, and the IMs and the, you know, the world's beeping all the time. And in the information age, the currency of the information age is our attention. So if you can't hold your attention here inside, oh man, you're lost, right? And so, you know, I was pre-med at UCLA. I looked down the barrel of the lights. I didn't really want to live, ask God for a clue, and a book about Taoism fell out of a bookshelf. And I went from normal immigrant kid trying to figure it out, thinking doctor, lawyer, engineer is the formula, to taking some magical mystery tour, right? And ending up in all sorts of interesting places, sitting at the feet of the Dalai Lama and the Karmapa Lama, and just the blessed life that I've had to live. Came from making very difficult decisions and following this inquiry of, you know, hey, what is this life thing supposed to be about? Like, you know, it's like if I question this formula, I'm a weirdo. But once I question the formula, I'm also on my way to being free, right? Right. And so it's been a long journey.
Yeah, I know that a lot of, I really appreciate you sharing that, because I think that so often people see these really incredible guests that come on, like you, who are thought leaders and visionaries. And it's great that you gave us that perspective of your journey and your brothers. There was a lot of difficult times and growing and challenges for you to really have the knowledge and the wisdom that you have. So thank you for sharing that. I think it's really helpful for people to hear that, especially because so many are in transition right now. So that being said, I mean, there's so many things I want to ask you, but I definitely really would like you to talk about your book, if you don't mind starting that way, because your book is about focusing, you know, and bringing time and energy money into flow. And so many people need that right now. I mean, just even one aspect of it, just even bringing energy into flow in their space, just telling anyone that can sing if you so. I know that I already have questions, and it's like, what does he mean?
Yeah.
Totally.
If you think about it, we will trade our time and our energy for money all day, every day. I mean, some people park up at this place called work, trading time for money, putting energy into it, eating food to create energy to live this thing called life, and then spending those heartbeats somewhere. Yeah. And, you know, we all grow up living life and not really thinking about where that energy goes, where that time goes, and in exchange for that, where that money goes. And we'll blow our money on a bunch of dumb stuff and then always be stressed about money. Or, you know, there's always a scarcity of one, if not all of those three. Yeah. So how do we look at that in a different way? And so for me, you know, it came about in a very interesting way, because when I came down from the monastery, I started teaching people Qigong and meditation and all sorts of practices that, you know, wake you up and bring energy.
What was that? When was that you were at the monastery? Just to keep them low.
Yeah. So I studied with my Taoist abbots and masters and took ordination as a minister in 2001. And then went on sabbatical again in the Himalayas and, you know, been in and out of different, you know, sabbaticals. But then I got back around 2002 and, you know, was tasked. I was no longer an ascetic. I was going to be a householder. I was going to live, you know, in this world and do all the things that, you know, put these practices to a test. Really, it's easy to sit in the Himalayas and say kumbaya. It's much harder to, you know, be a movie producer and an author and a dad and all the things that I also do to prove that the stuff actually works, right?
Yeah.
Right. It's like, you know, reality is the best test. And it's easy to just be like, oh, well, what you should do is 80 minutes of yoga and 90 minutes of this and that. All this. Who the hell has time to that, right?
Totally.
Right?
I love that you're saying that, because, you know, they're saying that, oh, there's an ashram or they're fear, they're bitch. But yeah, you're integrating that into your life.
That's it. That's it. And so I'd be teaching people. I'd come down. I was in Los Angeles, right? I'd be teaching all these, you know, lawyers and executives and stuff, all the stuff called Qigong. And people would get more energy and they get more power. And you know, I thought I was doing the world a favor until I started to see the fallout with certain people. Some people just, you know, boom, life took off. And other people, it was like, you know, like if you have bad spending habits and you win the lottery, you're going to be broke in a few years anyways.
Yeah.
And I saw this when people were, I was like, wow, their energy economics, their operating system had an underlying formula of chaos under it. Mm-hmm. And when I would give them more energy, they would just see more chaos and their lives would kind of spin out of control, thinking that, you know, more energy was going to be the solution, when their budget, their spending was terrible. And so I started really working on this formula of this life garden. So look, if you have room for, you know, 3, 4, 5 plants in your life garden, what are they? How much water do they take? And how realistic are you in what you say you want and what you're actually watering? And what's watering? You have time, money, and energy. Like, you're watering these things, whether it's your career, your family, your kids, your health, you know? And so a lot of us will do this thing where it's like, okay, well, my career is taking over. So, you know, fast forward 15 years, you've gained 40 pounds, your kids don't know you, and your wife's pissed off, right?
Yes,
is that work-life balance? Of course it's not. Right. And so how do we water all these plants in a way where our life moves forward in a way that actually serves us and our goals and our, and, you know, our dreams and our aspirations versus, you know, just kind of like running around watering what's withering and trying to keep everything from dying. And that, you know, really became the reason I ended up writing another book. I mean, I've written several books, but it was like, wow, in the information age, what is the currency? It's our attention.
Right.
And so our attention is being pulled into all these different media platforms and being monetized by Facebook and Google and all these places that do that. And their game, their algorithm is to keep us distracted away from our lives and focusing in on what they're saying, look at. Right. And what we're seeing as a result is not only, you know, disruption of, you know, elections and civilization as we know it, we're seeing people getting less and less connected with their own lives, their own dreams and aspirations. And everyone's like, wow, my life isn't working. My life isn't working. It's like, well, are you focused on your feeds or are you focused on your life? How do we bring your focus back here so that you become the master of your own life and you're not waiting for someone outside of you to fix you?
Right.
And, you know, unless you do that in the information age, you're lost because your attention is being pulled out of you in every which way. Every minute of every day.
Microsecond, you know, minutes also good, not like an eternity now.
Too long.
So with tension for a whole minute, you want. I mean, it's like a split second. We had a bunch of people just kind of like flowing and flow off. Could you dive into, you know, explore on life buttons? I love that phrase that you point to really give people a visual sense of what you mean so that they can apply it to their own lives when they leave this slide. Sort of really take in what you're saying and apply to these life gardens.
Sure. So let's just say we have a garden and inside we have plants. And again, I'm not going to suggest what people's plants should be, but they usually come out to these five, right? Which is you have your health, you have your family, right? And friends, you have your career, you have your passions, and then you have things that you want, you know, whether that's a, you know, a pony, a ranch, or a Maserati, I don't care what that is.
Yeah.
You have to factor that into what it is that the other plants want and say, look, do I have time, money, and energy to feed this? Right. And so a lot of times, especially during COVID, like, you know, you want to get exercise, we take a PE hour with the kids because I need to water my family plant and my exercise plant at the same time. And, you know, when you start looking at things through the filter of this garden, then you start to be able to identify if it's not one of those plants that you said was important to you, you start to identify, well, if it's not one of those plants, then what is it? It's a weed. It's a weed. So then you have to start identifying the weeds that you're watering. And look, you could fight for your weeds. Say, look, this is a plant. And say, great, put it in the garden. Where are you going to get the water from? Right? How are you going to water this? How are you going to keep this alive? But if you don't allocate water to something, but say that you want it, you're setting yourself up for disappointment, right? And you're lying to yourself. And then you're like, wow, my life doesn't work. My life doesn't work. It's like, yeah, well, you need to be honest with yourself in what you say you want and what you're willing to do to get it. And in doing that, I've seen tens of thousands of students over the years get their lives in order and get the lives they choose versus tumbling around in the whitewater complaining about life circumstances, right? It's just either you are a master or a victim. What's it going to
be? Yeah. I love that. You know, people say often, like, you're either a victor or you're a victim. So we make that choice. But, you know, there's a lot of people who are feeling lost, you know, they're feeling confused. There's people need a sense of certainty, and if they can't find it within themselves, they need like a chikah or something else. So they're not seeing it in their external, right? So you were talking about how important it is to reevaluate, like what's a flower, what's a plant, what's a bee. What are some exercises that they can do to do that, and how are they hit that new step?
Great question. Yeah, I mean, first, it all starts with just, meditation and Qigong and all these things are really powerful. I love teaching them. They help a lot. But if you haven't allocated your budget in life, the energy just gets squandered, right? The clarity, the meditation will help. Well, we could talk about that, but it gets squandered. So the first thing I do is just have people sit down with pen to paper and say, okay, what are my important plans in life? And how much water, how much time, energy, money is it going to require to keep this plant, not just alive, hopefully, but thriving?
Right.
So it's like, okay. And one of the things I would do in clinic when I was doctoring back in the day would be like, hey, let me see your phone. I'll see your calendar when we talk about these things. And, it'd just be work stuff. And be like, oh, that's interesting. I see zero date nights with your spouse. I see zero time for exercise. Like, if you haven't put this stuff on your calendar, you're not showing the world that you value it. And then next time some work thing comes in, it just crowds it out. Yeah. So as we start to allocate the time and the energy and the effort to actually water all those plants, then, I tell my students usually, I'm like, hey, write all this down and then come back to it every couple of days for about a week and really think it through, because you'll be like, oh, yeah, I forgot the dogs. Oh, yeah, I forgot, this. And you start to really map it out and you're like, well, I don't really have much room in my life for too many more yeses. Because every time I say yes to something new, I'm saying no to all those things in my garden.
Yeah.
And then I'm setting myself up for failure and disappointment, right? Mm-hmm. And that has really become a helpful tool mm-hmm. with people that I've taught all these practices to really manage time, money, and energy in a way that then allows them to say yes to their life, right? And then we can talk about the power of meditation, why that fits in so well with this.
Oh, yeah, you got to talk about that for sure. Next question.
Yeah, so meditation, this thing everyone's heard about. It's like, oh, yeah, I heard it's cool. I tried it once. Or, yeah, I do it every once in a while at the end of my yoga class. It makes me feel kind of good. It is proven to do this thing that is the most important thing you can do for yourself in your life, which is empower the prefrontal cortex. Mm-hmm. The cortex in the front of the brain separates us from the monkeys. And so these serotonergic neurons in the prefrontal cortex will have greater density just after a few weeks of meditation. What does this mean? This is the part of the brain that allows for rational thinking, higher moral reasoning, which the world could use a little more of, and a really important thing, which is the negation of impulses. What does that mean? Oh, man, look at that cheesecake. Monkey, no, right? Oh, the boys are in town for a drink. Let's go. Let's go to the gym. Monkey, no. Right? And just telling yourself, like making those decisions to offset the bad decisions come from the part of your brain that gets empowered through meditation. Mm-hmm. So, I've been at this for a long time and, been teaching all this stuff for, 25 years now. And I used to, be like, oh, yeah, and you should meditate, knowing people wouldn't do it.
Right.
And then I realized that my students and my patients that actually took up a practice were the ones that got better.
Yeah.
And over the years, I'm just like, yo, if you're not going to do, it's like saying, hey, I want to be good at pull-ups, but I won't do pull-ups to get good at
it. Grip.
If you want to be good at life, you got to be good at focusing your mind. And then you can make better food decisions, better exercise decisions, better dating decisions. I mean, how much drama do we get from bad decisions in life that can mess us up downstream, right? It's everything is predicated on the part of your brain that allows for you to be a master of your circumstances and not come from impulsive decisions. Mm-hmm. Impulsive decisions are what the entire economy are based on now.
Sure.
I'm going to put this person back on their heels, make them feel unattractive, make them feel fat, make them feel unsafe, and then sell them my product. That's advertising 101. And again, that's the currency of the information age.
So yeah.
Are you going to be a pawn in that, or are you going to wake up and be a self-embodied, empowered human who can make decisions for themselves?
Absolutely.
No one hands you that power. You take it, right? And you take it one breath at a time.
100%. And, I want to backtrack on a couple of things that you've said. When you're talking about why it's so important to say no to certain things, or we say yes to certain things, you're saying no to some of the plants in your garden, and how you're talking about calendar and everything, like scheduling in the things that are equally important, not just work. And interestingly enough, I didn't start off doing that, but I do that. Yeah, I mean, my self-care is in my calendar. You know, like this time that I'm going to set aside to go get body work or massage, or this is what I'm going to go and just be by myself or whatever it is. It is literally in my calendar now, because I feel like when you do that, you're committing to something, and it should be treated no different than a work meeting, you know, or a Zoom or a meeting with a client or any of those things. And it really does make it solidifies it. And then the level of importance in my life, just on a subconscious perspective on it, it doesn't get bogged down anymore, because it's on the calendar. So I just wanted to reinforce what you said, just from a personal space, what a difference it makes to calendar those things in, because otherwise you do, it falls off the priority list. Something else needs something, you look on what you need, how what you need to water that particular flower plant in your garden.
And look, if it's out of sight, it's out of mind, right? And if you set it's a priority, why isn't it there?
Yeah, it's so true. And you know, I love what you're saying, reinforcing about power of the mind and empowering yourself in the meditation, but you know, so many people really still struggle with that. Like, they want to do it. They want to do that daily meditation. How can they start? You know, and you can say, just start. But there's this connection that people just can't connect to. Like, what is something, what are like maybe two or three easy steps that someone who has tried, can't do it, doesn't want to give up on it, but it's not worth it. Because it works for everybody. All you guys up there, it works for everybody, but you got to do it. So if you don't know where to start, what are some tips that you can share with us?
I mean, look, I've been at this for a very long time, and I can tell you what I do and what works the best for a guy like me. I've got young kids. We're homeschooling. I mean, you know, I've set up my life to have circumstances that are busier than most. Mm-hmm. And if it works for me, I guarantee you can work for you, kind of thing, right? Because
you better take notes.
That's it. And so look, I get up. What's the first automatic thing that we do first thing in the morning when we wake up? And hopefully the answer isn't check Facebook, right? It's you get up and you pee, right? And so and the question, you know, and you know, the joke around it is, do you check your phone before or after you pee in the morning? And so what I like to do is the first thing, as my alarm goes off, my eyes wake up, the first thing I do is my mind-body practice and gather myself and gather my mind before I even pee in the morning. Don't you dare get into your threads. Do not get into the news and like all that crap. Do not allow your attention to escape your own consciousness first thing in the morning, or else you are tumbling down the white water of the day, being told what to look at and being told what to think, how to feel, how to vote and all of that. Right. And so before you even pee in the morning, get up and go over to your cushion and do your meditation practice.
Yeah.
10 minutes, set a timer, 10 minutes. Start your day with that discipline. And how long? I mean, the real answer is for the rest of your life, right? It's like, you know, how long should you do things that are good for you every day, all the time, right? But what I've found is if you do it every single day for 100 days, that will set the habit one day at a time. Every day is a percentage point. That will set the habit, that will set the trajectory for the rest of your life. It kind of puts you back in the driver's seat.
10 minutes, you guys. 10 minutes, 100 days. That's like, you know, 3 months, 3 months. I mean, think about the things that you do every day. First, you let you really say the right call. If there's certain habits that you add, like, okay, it's help you, whatever it is. 10 minutes. It's like, so for those of you who don't know how to start, don't know where to begin, you can't funnel any analysis lead better. So 10 minutes before you even go into the restroom, when you're still completely within your state of consciousness, go sit for 10 minutes. You know, maybe would you recommend any type of breathing exercise?
Yep.
How do you draw?
Yeah. Well, so I'm a little different. I'll do about 40 minutes of Qigong and then sit and meditate before I go. And I've been at this for a while, right? But what I like to recommend to people who are just starting is don't get all crazy woo-woo. You don't have to go buy a whole Lululemon wardrobe to do all this. You know what I mean? Like, people like are like, oh, now I'm a meditation person. None of that matters. Just be you, and be you with a calmer mind, right? And so go sit on your cushion. The real trifecta is you want your knees bent, and you want the tip of your tongue touching the roof of the mouth. That's two of the three requirements for something I'll explain in a second. And the third is lower diaphragmatic breathing. So the way I recommend it is sit down and start breathing down about three fingers below your navel, as if there's an imaginary balloon down there. Inflate that area on the inhale and deflate it on the exhale. Keep the tip of the tongue touching the roof of the mouth with the knees bent in a relaxed position where your spine is straight. Now, what do we know this does, right? And I got all the research and stuff in the new book. But what we understand about this is it triggers the parasympathetic nervous system, the rest and digest nervous system. Why do you want that? Rest and digest is, think of like a wartime economy versus a peacetime economy. Either we're spending all our money on bombs and war, or we're spending it on roads, bridges, and school books and the arts. When you're in parasympathetic, you are feeding the homeland. You are taking care of your organs. You are supporting your immune system. You're doing all these wonderful things that have all the benefits that we read about from meditation, mind, body practice. And when you're in sympathetic, you're fight and flight, amygdala, making impulsive decisions, being told what to think and running for your life, right? And the world is driving us more and more into sympathetic. So what do we need to do is we need to rewire our brains back to parasympathetic. And we have to train ourselves to be there and be there at a time where we're not panicked, because what people have mistaken meditation about is like, you know, they replace it for like a quaalude. It's like, oh, I'm having a panic attack. Someone's yelling at me. I'm going to meditate. It's a little late for that if you don't already have a lengthened fuse.
Yeah.
So as you work to lengthen your fuse and get better at mental resilience and living in parasympathetic nervous system, your body will eventually start to shift. Your microbiome will start to shift. Your nervous system will start to become more adaptive, because people are like, oh yeah, I tried meditating for 3 days and yeah, it was cool. Keep going.
Yeah.
Keep going. You're in your 40s. You're in your 50s. Yeah. Dude, you spent a lot of time digging yourself into this hole. Yeah. Give it at least 100 days to build the neurocircuitry to give you the part of the brain back that you need and get you back into parasympathetic so that your body starts to heal. You know, the problem is we live in a culture that sells sugar cereal to children every day.
Yeah.
And so everyone's trying to sell some quick fix and say, look, you don't actually have to work. Don't worry about it. Just take my pill, take my cream, drink my smoothie, and it'll, you know.
It's all
BS.
Yeah.
It's BS.
Yeah. And just to add on to what you said, it's something that I've often shared with my audience, that when you're in this parasympathetic state, not only are you already doing things that Adrian had already talked about, but you're also putting your body into a space where you can receive that which you put in. So what you're drinking, the foods that you're eating, the action that you receive, the nutrients and nourishment from your food, because you're in a state to receive, you know, your digestive system is in a state to receive. And so there's multi-aspect of it. And so you get your 10 minutes a day, first thing in the morning.
I have a practice already, but I'm going to shift it a little bit and do it the way you suggested. So it's not the first thing that I do in the morning before I go to the bathroom, but now it will be. So, you know, usually I go to the bathroom, I get cleaned up, and then I go and I sit. But I love that you said to stay in your state of consciousness when you're going to go and meditate for 10 minutes. And I thought, okay. Not that, like, you know, I lay and I meditate, you know, laying, or I go into my gratitude phase, but when you're like, no, knees need to be bent, your spine needs to be straight, I thought, okay, that's an easy shift from what I'm doing. And I'm going to chart it and see, you know, what that tiny little shift, how that may change in the next 100 days for myself. So, and I already have a meditation practice. So thank you for sharing that, because I want to try it your way. And so for those of you guys who have joined on and maybe joined a little bit late, we have just an incredible, incredible human being with us. And he's sharing things about his new book. He's sharing everything from meditation to, and he's a Qigong master. He is Taoist habit. He is a best-selling author. He is kind of everything. So make sure that you're taking notes. I will make sure that this live has a replay. But make sure you take notes because everything he's saying is so wise. And I've already found little nuggets of wisdom that are helpful for me. So I wanted to address something else that you said as well, which is, you know, we're talking about where we're at right now with the pandemic and as a society and the things that we're being fed. We're sort of in the state of crisis, right, on a collective consciousness. And a lot of people don't really understand what that means. And I would love if you could explain that to the audience, you know, what that means to be in a crisis of consciousness.
Yeah, I mean, look, we talked about the information age being this parasitic attention extraction machine, right? Which you know, if that weren't bad enough, if you think about all the news that's out there between the, you know, the elections, and then you have the bugs, and everyone is just the bugs, right? The bugs are coming for you now, right? You know, it used to be the Russians, then it was the Chinese, then it was the Iranians. And it's like, we always need a bug. We always need a bad guy. And then, you know, it's become this thing where the walls are absolutely caving in a lot of ways. And I don't want to diminish the reality. I mean, I lost one of my groomsmen to COVID. So like, you know, but yes, I mean, there are, you know, it is a real virus and it is a real thing.
Well, I had it, so I know it's real.
Yeah, and it sucks. You talk to people who have it, and you're like, okay, wow, that was really not fun. Mm-hmm. So that's there. But what is the answer, right? What is the answer? And you know, I used to do this in the martial arts, you know, back in the day when I was, you know, younger. You know, we'd be in tournaments and stuff, and I'd be like, okay, well, you know, what if he throws a kick? What if he throws a punch? What if? And, you know, my grandmaster would look at me and say, don't anticipate, just be ready. Okay, so what does that mean? It means get up in the morning and meditate and build your fuse and build the resilience psychologically. It also means build physiological resilience. Are you going to go eat a bunch of like Kit Kats for Halloween right now and diminish your immune system function during a global pandemic and flu season and? Or are you going to drink some green smoothies and take good care of yourself and stay healthy and resilient? In a time where there's bugs, right?
Yeah.
And so what does your immunity need? Your immunity, we can get into, you know, I can geek out on the science of this. I literally just wrote a book on this. But your immunity.
Geek out. I love it.
Geek out. Yeah. So there's this thing called NF-kappa-B, which is the high-level genetic expression of cytokine release. And everyone's talking about cytokine storms, all this.
Yeah.
We have been looking in medicine for this gold standard of stopping something at the highest level of genetic expression of inflammation. And that's an NF-kappa-B. And the only thing we've found thus far that suppresses NF-kappa-B pathways and basically brings down inflammation globally, allows the immune system to stay in optimal function and the body to stay optimally functioned, is meditation and mind-body practice. And the researchers look at that and say, whoa, isn't that cool? We can't put that in a pill, so let's move on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And guys like me who've been doing this, seeing lives turning around for decades now, like miraculous recoveries from, you know, diabetes to cancer to, you know, whatever it is. But looking at this saying, dude, right there, fountain of youth. What are you talking about? You're just assuming people are too damn lazy to do anything about their own lives and their own health. So you say, okay, well, that, you know, whatever. We know they're not going to meditate. Let's move on and try to find a pill. Mm-hmm. And so these headlines just get skipped over.
Right.
And medical science understands that doing this kind of stuff will not only lengthen your fuse but and build your resilience, it will help offset any of the arrows reality will continue to fling at you, whether it's COVID or the next thing.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So the operating system shouldn't be who's going to help us, who's going to vaccinate us, who's going to fix us from COVID and XYZ. It should be, how do I build the ultimate platform of vitality and mental and spiritual and emotional resilience so that I am glowing from the inside out?
Yes, absolutely. 100%. I love everything you're saying. This is speaks to my soul. I mean, and this is everything that I'm constantly sharing. You know, we at COVID, we got over it holistically, and whether or not there's lingering symptoms or not, this is still all something that we work on, like, holistically through mind-body, through the soul, through meditation, through all of everything that you're saying. And it's so important to keep reminding people of that, you know, that your solution is not in a pill, you know, and it's not in a syringe necessary. So I love everything that you're saying about that, and so grateful to you for everything that you're sharing so far today. I mean, you know, there's been people that, again, have popped on and popped off, and I would really love if you could just, like, circle back and just talk about this book that you have coming out and how important and how timely it is, because right now, more than ever, we really need to focus, you know, and we really need to evaluate our lives and what's going on. So your book, Focus, Bring Time, Energy, and Money into Flow. Oh, yay!
It's an advanced galley. I still haven't touched the baby. I still don't have the actual book yet, but it's available for pre-order.
Yes, I was just going to ask you about pre-order. Can I get mine, like, order mine today?
Absolutely. Available for pre-order. This is, look, I don't, you know, I've done a lot of things in my life. I didn't need to write another book for, you know, my name, my profession. I don't care about any of that stuff. I needed to write this book because it needed to be said. Yeah. And so I sat down and wrote the book that the world right now needs to read. And why is that? Because we're being distracted into thinking that there's all these, you know, problems that are solvable by people other than us. There's all these disease processes that, you know, we're hoping to find a cure for, but we don't have the internal resilience to build. And what's happening is, the more we get distracted away from our own lives, our own health, our own consciousness, our own awakening, our own internal nexus of control and solutions, the more we feel like the world is chaotic and the solutions are out of our hands.
Yeah.
And that is the furthest thing from the truth. And that, to me, is the devil's game. Is pulling us away from our God-given power of creativity and consciousness and all of it. Mm-hmm. And if not now, then when?
Right.
If not you, then whom? Right? And that's really what's been missing, is every single person here right now is the hero they've been waiting for, is the savior they've been waiting for. Mm-hmm. And they have to, in my tradition, we call it retroflexion, which is turning the light of awareness back inward to understand oneself, one's inner light, one's inner serenity, peace. It's all right here. It's at the bottom of your next breath. Mm-hmm. And all we're doing is looking outside of ourselves. It's almost like a cosmic joke. It's hilarious. Once you're on the other side of it, it's hilarious how silly we've been. Right?
It's so true.
And how close we are to the answers right here.
Yeah. We really do. Like, so many of us think that the truths are external, but really they're completely internal. And everything we need and everything we need is truly within us. And so I love that that's a retro. What was the term?
Retroflexion.
Retroflexion, to like turn it back within ourselves. Like, it's a great. I love that. It's a great term. And I love that you were like, okay, I don't need to write another book, but this is what people need to hear right now. Like, this is what people need to read about. And, you know, there's already several people that were like, I'm buying the book. Where can I get it? Where can they get it? Is it Amazon or
anywhere books are sold? I mean, it's a, you know,
pre-order,
ready to go. November 10th is pub date. And what I decided to do with this book, because people are just so panicked right now, is I'm doing a 21-day course for free for anyone who gets the book, because I was going to say, look, you know what? Let's do a read-along. You guys read the book, and every single day I'm going to help you along, making sure you stay focused, making sure you stay on point. Yeah, that's how important it is to me. I mean, look, it's one thing to order books. How many books do, you know, everyone here, how many books do you order that end up maybe at your nightstand and then just kind of make it off your nightstand 3 months later because you have a stack of books this thick, and you know, if it takes you a month to read a book, you're looking at 6 months of your life, and then you get stressed out and you move it off.
I definitely have books not read yet.
guilty as charged, right? You know, I used to be, you know, I go to these conferences and people would mention books and I just go on Amazon and just order them until I realized that I, you know, was, you know, 3 years behind on the books that I had ordered.
Yeah.
And I don't have that much time to read. And yeah. then I was like, okay, so if I'm going to read a book, what is it going to do for my life? It has to unlock more time, energy, or money or something to make my life better so that yeah. I can be better at this thing called life. Like, I don't need yes. to read anything else that pisses me off or like makes me scared about the world.
Yeah.
I need help. Right.
Wow. How amazing. I mean, thank you so much. I mean, I am grateful to you and I honor you for your service to the world for not just writing this book because people need it, but essentially being the accountability partner for everyone who buys the book, you know, for 21 days and you will go over it with them. I think that is just, that's amazing. So everyone that's on here, I really encourage you, not only will you get the book, but you will get daily free with you, right? For 21 days to go over it and to really understand what Pedro was teaching. And I think that that's invaluable. So gracious. Thank you for doing that. I didn't even know that you were doing that.
Thank you.
Obviously, yeah, I mean, thank you. Because I'm ordering the book.
100%. 100%. I want you there with me. I mean, look, you know, life is better with friends, right? And so my whole thing, and by the way, if you're doing this right now, just go to the, I think it'll be up in like 2-3 days or whatever next week. The urbanmonk.com is where we'll have like the link to go in and kind of register for all that. And, you know, just put in the receipt from your book and we're there. It's one of those things where, you know, I don't want people to buy a book that they're not going to read. I want people right. to buy into a transformation that will help them be the person they need to be for their family, for their spouse, yeah. for their kids, for their neighbors. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it starts with the individual. And so if you don't start yourself doing mm-hmm. the work that you need to do to get your own life in order, how are you going to help the world around you that's sliding everywhere, right?
Yes, yes.
We need empowered humans to wake back up and step back into their bodies and their lives. And, you know, everyone's, again, it's like, you know, I'm out there trying to fix the world. I got to fix myself first. And then I quickly become a part of the solution. It's very, very fast. I've seen this. I've seen people ignite their lives, take off in their careers, reverse autoimmunity. I mean, I've seen it all. I've been around, you know, healthcare for a long time. I've been around yeah. personal development for a long time. When those people do that, they don't stop. There yeah. with their lives, do they? Mm-hmm. Suddenly they're lending a helping hand. Suddenly they're better neighbors. Yeah. You know, then they're out there on their lawn, like, you know, getting a fist fights over red team, blue team. They're sitting there having a conversation about how to move the world forward and they're not yes. mud wrestling in the gunk.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
That's what we need right now, right? We need to elevate. And that happens by retroflecting and turning our light back on. Mm-hmm. Right. And unless you realize that that's part of the solution, the first step in the solution, you're always looking outside yourself for external solutions. And I guarantee you, the Buddha called those hungry ghosts. Oh. So you're looking up, if that's from the Buddha. If you're looking outside yourself for solutions to fix you, you're a hungry ghost. You have to turn it inward. And look, there's tools. I mean, the book's full of tools. There's plenty of tools. I'm not the only guy talking tools. Mm-hmm. Just pick up a tool and start working on yourself. Right.
Yeah, so beautifully said. So beautifully said, because we need to elevate, you know, and we need to elevate it ourselves and each other. And together, we're elevating the entire collective conscious. So, you know, for those of you, I have a pinned comment right here that has Dr. Pajan Shojai's Instagram account, which will link to everything, right? It'll link to your, and I know you have to go by Pajan, but you're like Pajan.
That so might just be the glare off my bald head.
Under you.
Oh, you're so sweet. You're so sweet. Well, one of the things it's one of these things that I want to make sure people also understand in the spiritual community is there's a lot of false light. There's a lot of people out there going like, look at me, I'm a guru. You know, follow me, I'm a guru. Man, that guru thing stinks. Right? People are trying to be gurus and trying to get followers and trying to be famous for being a guru. That is the wrong energy. Like, I've done all the work and I don't want any of that. Right? I'm just a guy trying to help. And so there are a lot of like fly traps out there, if you will. Right? And,
yeah.
And you just gotta be careful. If any of the work that you see out there has to do with someone saying, it comes through me, look at me, I'm this, I am that, you know, going through some exalted ego self of some guy out there, that's the wrong energy. Every single bit of true spirituality has to empower you.
Yeah.
And have it come back on you. It has nothing to do with me. I'm just the messenger, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, I go out of my way to make sure people understand that is, look, it's your journey. It's your awakening. It's your agency. It's your consciousness. You have to own it. Mm-hmm. Don't put it on the guru. Don't put it on the doctor. Don't put it on anyone. It's yours. Mm-hmm.
And so well said. And I mean, I'm sure you guys send hearts if you agree with this, that when it was the truth, you know, healer, guru, whatever, I know we're not using the word guru here, but like you feel the energy from the person speaking. You feel like they want to strengthen you, that they want to empower you, you know, that the mission that they have is to serve you so that you can serve yourself and to serve others. And that energy comes through so strong from you, Dr. Pedro. I know you're Pedro. Dr. Pedro. So, you know, I think we're all really grateful for that because I feel it, you know, you feel it when you want to help all of us. And that's beautiful. And I'm really glad that there's so many people that are saying that they're going to order the book. And definitely go and follow Dr. Pedro on his Instagram account because you'll get to everything. And you're doing so many incredible things and you have. And I saw that you're also doing a streaming platform, like that's another project that you have. Do you have time to share that with us?
Can you believe that? So yeah, I started a streaming platform 3 months ago with my good buddy, Nick Palizzi of the Sacred Science, one of my best friends in the world. And, you know, we have so many documentary series and so much stuff that we've produced, just the two of us. And we decided, look, you know what? It's people are having a hard time. You know, $200 every time we do one of these, people who need it, you know, it's a lot of money. So we decided to democratize it and create a streaming service called Whole.tv, WHOLE.tv. We just ran it through beta. I've got a few thousand people in there. And what I started doing is, yeah, we have a ton of films and things that are added to it every month. But what I don't want to be, we had this original kind of debate about like it being the Netflix of health and wellness. I'm like, I don't want to be the Netflix of anything. I turn on Netflix, I argue with my wife about what to watch for 45 minutes, and then we don't watch anything because I want to go to bed and it's over. So who wants to be the Netflix of anything? And so what we really did is say, look, what is this about? This is about a deep dive into the lives of people who are asking for help. And so now we have every week, we have live yoga, we have Tai Chi, we have therapists doing, you know, for kids and families and relationships, and literally taking calls from our audience, our members, and like helping them solve life problems. I have functional medicine doctors, and we're building more and more around all of this because what people want is solutions to their problems. That, you know, and this is Maslow's hierarchy of needs. I've done films on conscious capitalism. I've done films on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And I have to say that if you have autoimmunity, diabetes, have very low energy, and your life sucks, your kids aren't listening to you, you don't care about Syrian refugees.
Right.
Right. You don't care about the problems around the world because you can't even see past your own nose. Right. And so you want to solve the world problems, you have to solve individual problems. And so we really made Whole TV around helping fix people's lives, from microbiome to remedies to everything, because that's how you save the world. And I do care about Syrian refugees and I care about everything, but I realize that people cannot go there until they're feeling overflow in energy and abundance in health and vitality. Mm-hmm. And that comes from all of the things that we know how to fix. So here are your solutions, right? Here are your solutions.
Absolutely. I mean, and thank you for doing that, creating that. That's amazing. It's just another platform, another way for people to get this information. I think that's so important. I mean, that's what I'm trying to do here with Culinary Alchemy and with incredible guests like you. It's just feeding people the information so that they can have that awareness and then they can heal and empower themselves so that they can heal and empower other people. For some of you guys that asked, you know, Pedro's actually, on top of being a doctor of oriental medicine and an herbalist and an acupuncturist and, you know, a master, a Qigong master and a Taoist rabbi, he's also a best-selling author. And this is going to be another best-selling book. He's already one of multiple other books, but he's also a producer. You know, he's produced movies like Vitality, Origins, Prosperity, a series too, right? Interconnected, Gateway to Health, Exhausted. And you've produced all this incredible content. So for those of you who may be new to this magical soul, there's so much for you to read and watch and catch up on and really, really indulge yourself in his wisdom and his energy, because you already got a taste of it here and there's so much more of it. So definitely go follow him on his Instagram account at the bottom of the screen here with the pinned comment. And I shared it on my stories. We're going to do the replay and you'll have all the information on Pedro as well. So is there anything else that you want to add? Hi, Eric. Hi, Jen. Oh, I love all you guys. I miss you guys. Look at who I have on here today. It's like so awesome. You guys got to go follow him. My little buddy's on here.
So sweet.
Anything else that you'd like to share? I mean, I know we actually, some other questions, I answered some of the major questions that came in with meditation and how you get into that flow, which by the book. But anything else that you'd like to share? Really, you gave us some really incredible nuggets of wisdom today.
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy to talk about, you know, the thing that's in front of all of us is, you know, look, we're home and a lot of people are having a very hard time finding the work-life balance in this place called home, right?
Yeah.
I'm there. We decided this year that we didn't want our school district was requiring masks and cubicles. Oh. And, you know, it's just putting my four-year-old in a mask and cubicles and training her to think that, you know, other humans can be scary was something I didn't really want as an experience for my four-year-old. Mm-hmm. And so we decided to homeschool this year. So, and so far so good. I mean, look, they're learning how to read and it's going well, but it's been, you know, obviously challenging in other ways. And it's all about boundaries now, right?
Yeah.
And understanding and respecting each other's boundaries. I crossed that door over there. I got two Labradors, two kids, a wonderful wife and a goldfish that are all just like, you know, let's go, daddy's back. And so how do you manage all that while being home, while being able to be productive at work, while being the spouse and the father and everything else that you need to be for them. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful challenge. And right now we all are having to face it. So either you can feel sorry for yourself and be a victim and say, oh my God, this is terrible. Everything's falling apart. Or you can look at this as your kung fu, right? And again, be ready and learn to be like, okay. And so when I go out there, I know that they're going to jump on me, right? Whether it's for a glass of water, a cup of tea or whatever. Yeah. So, you know, I can either be like, hey, not now, daddy's, you know, dad's busy and give him an experience. And it's my son in particular, who just like, he's like, dad, right? And it's like either give him an experience of dad's unavailability and dad being a cranky guy because, you know, somehow something in my phone or my screen is more important than him.
Right.
Or understand that these foundational moments in this child's life, looking at someone that they, you know, idolize as a father and thankfully love, mm-hmm. are really important feedback loops, and to let go of whatever the hell it was on my mind at that moment and walk out there, even if it's for the duration of 45 seconds to fill up my water or whatever it is, to be like, oh, hey, buddy, how's school going? What's going on? Yeah. And just that feeds their little hearts.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be the half hour that you think you're going to lose, but just stop and be present in that moment and give them an experience of love and connection and interaction. Don't just walk by the dog, pet the dog, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just stop for a second and be the person they need you to be in that second and be like, not right now, buddy, daddy's working, but I'll be back when I love you so much.
Yes. Yes, I love that. And I'm so glad you're like anyone but no, because it's something I talk about, you know, just presence. And presence is actually so powerful. And you actually get so much back from that moment. And you don't lose time. You know, just being present in that moment is so healing and nurturing, not just to your own soul, but to the energies around. So thank you so much for sharing that. And thank you for being okay that Gizmo really wanted to say hi.
What a gorgeous dog.
This is Gizmo.
Oh my goodness.
And he's been trying to get up on his chair for the last 45 minutes.
Of course he has.
So I was like, okay, you can come.
Let me see if I have any of mine under my desk. No, they're outside. Yeah. I normally have Buster.
Are you doing a cup exchange right now?
Oh my God. No, my Buster is normally at my feet, but it's like, I think he's getting fed and walked right now. Yeah, but he's like, you know, a 95 pound red Labrador, so he's not coming up here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I think this one weighs about 9 pounds. And
what a cutie.
His energy has actually been such a little blessing during our chat. And I feel your energy, and I really feel that the animals did too. So thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you so much for all of you that have stayed on as you do whenever I have a live and an extraordinary guest. And so thank you so much, Pedram. I'm so excited to get your book. And I'm actually going to make sure I have all of your books, and I'm going to make sure that I read them. And they're not going to be one of those books that just sit on my shelf, because you made that point. Right, I'm going to use what I learned from your second book to make sure I read all the other ones.
You're so sweet.
Thank you.
Yeah, books do us no good on the shelf. Nope. They do us good when we've internalized the information and we've applied it in life. You know, for me, the greatest compliment is someone living a fully lived, fulfilled life from something that I may have been able to help with along the journey. I mean, that's just like, oh man, life is complete, right?
Yes.
Life is complete.
Yes.
You know, you got to touch lives, you know, just getting books doesn't do anything.
No, it's so true. And I get that feeling, you know, when I work with clients, it's something that changed your life. It's so rewarding. And you've given us tips today. I think that there's a lot of people that just a single tip that you gave us about meditation and your stuff at presence, and we talk about so many things, but just that tip of starting the day while you're still in your own state of consciousness and not sovereign energy, you go sit in for 10 minutes, keep your tongue to the roof of your mouth, your legs bent, and just, you know, be. I think that's so, it's something that people have talked about, but for some reason, the way you shape what you do and to know that that's what you do, I think that'll be something that's really powerful and profound. So.
I hope so. And just make sure you keep the lower diaphragmatic breathing. That's the trifecta. Yes. Bend the knees, low diaphragm, tip of the tongue touching the roof of the mouth. That handles all the science. You got to do the work. The science, you know, is checked off on that box. Now just do that for 100 days and you will reap the rewards, right?
Yes.
And if you could do 15 minutes, so much the better.
Yes.
You know, it's not like, you know, a lot of people are like, what if I do 5 minutes? It's like, well, if you're playing, let's make a deal with yourself, not with me, right?
Yeah.
Like, the more the merrier. And then your fuse is longer and you are happier and you're making better decisions and your life is working out. And everyone looks at you saying, oh my God, what have you done?
Yes, yes. Yes, and you guys, don't forget, if you order the book, you pre-order the book, you also get 21 days, you know, of doing this and having Dr. Pedram, having Pedram as your accountability partner in all this and helping you through those steps. So what a gift. I mean, truly, that's on top of the book, what a gift that you're doing that for people. So thank you so much. And thank you so much for your time today. Thank you guys so much for being here. Thank you for staying with us. And I'm sure if you have other questions, people can direct message you.
Sure. DM me, find me on my Insta, find me over there. And, you know, I'm pretty available and open. You know, it might take a minute, but usually I'm there.
Okay, awesome. And are your other social platforms the same as your Instagram account, your Facebook, and your other platforms?
It's a great question. I don't really social that much, but you can check it out over there. And then on theurbanmonk.com has links to all my social. It's, you know, The Urban Monk basically everywhere. But this one is official because a lot of people try to jump on the name, and you know, it's one of those things.
It's a great name. It's like the name. So.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, well, that was the name back in, you know, 2016. This is what set that up. It's in like 35 languages, you know, so it's
so amazing.
Yeah, it's gotten to people, which makes me happy, right? I'm helping people.
Yeah, I know you are. Thank you for your service. It's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Such a pleasure. Thanks for having me. Thank you, everybody.
Bye, everyone, and have a great day with your fur babies and your kids and your wife. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
All right, bye.